Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And I'm so excited for today's podcast. It sort of merges East and West. We're interviewing Dr. Felice Chen. Dr. Felice is a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine. She has a neuroscience background. Love that. And she's helping modern audiences rethink how their health and emotional being and skin is all interconnected. It's kind of an Eastern and a Western lens. And she grew up immersed in Chinese medicine in Hong Kong. She's been a leading voice in making traditional Chinese medicine practical, accessible, and kind of more relevant to everyday people. And she now has a global community of over 700,000 people. It's focused on skin health, nervous system regulation, and holistic well-being. She's the co-founder of Moonbo. I'm sure we're going to learn much more about that, but it kind of delves into balance, this brand that's rooted in education and internal balance. So today, let's talk about it. I would love to learn more about how skin reflects what's going on inside the body, because that is definitely my clinical experience. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Felice.
Thank you so much for the lovely intro, Dr. K. I feel honored to be here and I'm so excited to chat all about beauty, gut health, holistic health, and what really makes sense and why, skin issues start from within.
They do. I think there's, it's really quite apparent that our cortisol levels, our dietary habits, the patterns that we follow when we're stressed, they wreak havoc on our skin and our bodies. For someone who's just hearing about traditional Chinese medicine, for the first time and not feeling that it integrates, what do they need to understand about the body that Western medicine misses?
Yeah, I love that question. So traditional Chinese medicine, I always like to say it's holistic, right? We never look at the body in a compartmentalized like version, whereas we have a heart doctor or a throat doctor, eye doctor, everything is interconnected with our meridian system, with our energetic channels, but also how our brain connects to our gut. And so whenever we look at the overarching issue of any type of ailment, we always look at the root cause because everything's connected. So that's just the main philosophy of Chinese medicine. And we always say that true balance or true health comes when your body is in balance, when your nervous system feels calm and safe, because that's where true healing happens, right? You can only heal in the parasympathetic version of your nervous system. And so, how do we attain that through Chinese medicine principles?
I love it. When you look at a patient and you're seeing their external skin or their whole physiognomy of their face, what are you able to tell just by a quick visual observation?
There's a lot. I mean, just with the face itself, we have a lot of facial mapping in terms of, for example, acne. If there's acne on the forehead, on the cheeks, on the nose, on the chin, we can tell where there's inflammation inside the body. For example, the chin area, we say it's the uterus, the cheeks are the lungs and the stomach, the forehead's more of the gut, the small intestine, large intestine, between the eyes is the liver. And so that kind of denotes what area feels inflamed and also what emotion is causing that. And we always tie emotion to any type of skin issue as well. It's fascinating. And then with that, we also look at the tongue. So if someone comes in, a patient comes in, I'm asking all these diagnostic questions, but I'm also looking at their tongue because if their tongue gives so much information, for example, I had a patient come in yesterday for, she's trying to conceive. And a big history she's had was SIBO. And she also has acne. So all of that is interconnected. And so we always say in Chinese medicine to kind of unblock the areas that feel stagnated or that there's what we say dampness in Chinese medicine, we have to first fix the gut because then your skin's going to reflect that. And then we can calm the nervous system so that you can conceive. So it's very interesting trying to get to the root cause and what is actually causing all of that prevention of something that wants to happen.
So interesting. A lot of people feel that they spend a ton of money on skincare, but their skin is not improving. So I don't know, what are some of the first steps if a person's going to self-analyze their own routine or their own internal psyche?
I mean, it's definitely holistic. And with Moonbo, we talk about it a lot, right? Where Moonbo is a skincare brand and has Chinese herbs. So, how do we make the skincare holistic in itself, where it's not just, creating a barrier support, but it's actually causing more absorption? But we also teach how do you calm your nervous system? For example, for Moonbo, we always ship a chrysanthemum flower to make into tea. Every time you put on skincare, we encourage you to drink tea because that kind of switches your nervous system to calm down, to heal. And so, how can you create that system or ritual? And so it's really kind of tuning back to how is your nervous system feeling? Because if you're doing a skincare routine morning and night and it's 15 steps and you're stressed, right? And it feels overwhelming, that's almost defeating the whole purpose of it.
It almost is, right? I honestly feel like those 10-step Korean beauty routines are really hard for me, and I just don't embrace them at all.
Yeah, and most people don't have time for it. I praise the people who do love to do it, and it's, something that I, want to attain one day. But again, we have such limited time. So how can you do it in 2 steps and 3 steps? But also drink a cup of tea during it. Make it part of your breakfast. Kind of combine everything together.
How do you feel about these people that do this whole wrapping and unwrapping regimen where I've seen videos where they're
Oh
it's a
yeah.
bloody wrap with a head wrap, a neck wrap, and
Oh
you
yeah,
can
I've seen that, and I know a few people do. I think to each in their own. I don't think it's necessary to achieve beauty and health. I think what Chinese medicine really shares is that almost taking a step back, unraveling, what this modern society has thrown at us, and just going back to how simple we are as human beings and how we have to connect to nature, how we have to breathe and go for walks. That does so much more healing than wrapping our bodies in so many different wraps to help with our lip system, to detox.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's almost like they're having a physical fight with their own body. They're like trying to bind
Exactly.
it, dominate it, lift it, and win some kind of fight versus a little bit more of acceptance, I guess. If someone wants glowing skin, where would you tell them to start first? Is it working on stress, sleep, digestion, or diet, or skincare? Like, where should you dive in?
Oh, I love this. I would say all the above, but I would start at stress because stress is truly the root of digestive issues, which is then, kind of the cause of skin issues, right? So in Chinese medicine, we always say that there's a pattern where our liver, in Chinese medicine, it's the organ that corresponds to stress, frustration, anger. And when it can't function properly, we almost relate it to liver enzymes or actually how healthy your liver is. It then affects your gut health. It affects how your body can actually process nutrients and absorb nutrients. It, then talks about how it can actually transform and transport the nutrients into energy and to give you that vitality. So it all comes down to stress because if you can't manage that, then everything cascading in that symptom will, just be affected.
That's true. We hear a lot about kind of nervous system dysregulation right now
Yeah.
and stimulating your vagus nerve to kind of calm the body. So you're a neuroscientist, but you also probably have techniques that are Chinese medicine related. Can you tell me how you would merge the two to get dysregulation controlled?
Yeah, absolutely. I love the vagus nerve because it's so central to how our bodies can switch from one side of the nervous system, the parasympathetic, which is, the rest and digest, to the sympathetic or fight and flight. And it's not to say fight and flight is bad. I think there's almost a misconception sometimes where people are like, oh my gosh, my cortisol spiking, I'm in fight or flight mode. But it's really how malleable is your nervous system and when is it switching back and forth? And so Chinese medicine and why acupuncture herbs are so effective nowadays is that most people are stuck in their fight or flight, right? For longer than they should be. It's okay in the morning when your cortisol spikes, but if that lasts throughout the day, if it's too elevated, high cortisol levels, and you can't sleep, your body can't heal. And so acupuncture, there's, specific points and protocols and regimens that switch the nervous system, but overall, acupuncture is known to calm the nervous system, to kick your system into parasympathetic states so you can heal again. And even, for example, there's our Ren channel, which runs in the center of our body, and we can kind of put needles there around the stomach too, and that immediately activates the vagus nerve.
Interesting. Wow. Do you believe in vagal nerve stimulators?
Yes and no. I haven't found one that is as effective as acupuncture.
Really? Okay. And then is there a method where we can stimulate our vagal nerve to calm down without having to go get acupuncture or we
Yeah.
can buy a stimulator? What's
Yeah,
the best?
exactly. I think a combination of breath work and making sure that we're breathing into our belly as we breathe in for 5 slow counts and then breathing out. And it's interesting where I would say about 75% of patients who come in that are new patients, and we always do, with 1 minute breath work before we start the treatment because I want to see how they're breathing. And most people are breathing in and their belly kind of comes in and they're breathing into our chest, not their abdomen, meaning their diaphragm is not active. And when the diaphragm isn't active, it's not actually activating the vagus nerve, right? And so that's one movement that is so effective is slow breath work. And then the second thing is massaging under the ears. In Chinese medicine, we say our ears. activate our vagus nerve. It's all connected. That's why ear acupuncture is so effective. So, moving, massaging the ears while you're breathing in deep to your belly is one of the best ways to switch your nervous system.
Oh, I love that. I did not know that. I'm going to do that. I think subconsciously we maybe touch our ears when we're stressed also.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting. In terms of like modern wellness, has this overcomplicated our, I think this idea that we monitor and track things with our Oura ring and our sleep cycle and our, sugar levels, it's all great, but does that add a level of stress, or do you think that's a appropriate way to look up what you're to know what your body's doing versus
I love this
the
question so much. It's so interesting because I think now in the realm of modern science and biohacking and all of the AI tools we have, everyone wants to jump on board to see how their levels are. And I think it's dependent on the individual. If you're someone who can, see all of these data points and still be able to take a step back and tune into how you feel, it's fine. But I think once you start to get obsessed with data points and make that kind of the attainable goal and ignore your intuition, that's where it becomes a problem. For example, I had a patient who came in, and I always asked about energy levels, how you slept. And she's like, "I slept great. I have great energy, but my Oura ring says that I slept poorly." I'm like, "Okay, but you feel okay." She's like, "Yeah, but my Oura ring said I didn't. So can we work on that?" But I'm like, "You have great energy. You slept 8 hours. You didn't wake up to pee. I think that's okay, right?" So it's really how do you use all of these new tools to assist you rather than over obsess over what your body is naturally trying to do.
It does add a level of modern stress. It's almost like you can't keep up with the performance. It's like a report card every day that you keep failing, failing and failing.
Exactly.
When you look at common signs that someone's stuck in like a survival mode where they have this fight or flight turned on chronically, how do we get that person to recognize that they're in that mode? Because sometimes they think they're functioning fine. Like, I know I'm like that. I think I'm like, this is just me. I just do everything all the time. And then when you finally sit down and calm down, you realize like I'm carrying a lot of stress.
I think it takes a lot for people to realize that they are in fight or flight longer than they should be, but it comes out as different symptoms, right? The biggest thing is digestion. They're bloated all the time. One of the biggest keys is after a meal, are you bloated? Do you have stomach pain? And it means that you're not eating when your nervous system is relaxed and balanced because you can only, process food in the rest and digest phase. And so my tip is, 3 deep breaths before any meal. And that can kind of kickstart your body into actually absorbing. Another thing that I see is insomnia, right? When people can't sleep at night, when their body's actually supposed to calm down and where you heal, that's the biggest telltale sign. But Chinese medicine is great where it almost, recognizes all these symptoms before bigger ailments like autoimmune diseases happen. It's almost like a scale, right? Where there's Chinese medicine, someone's optimal and healthy, and then there's the end of the scale where it's diagnosable by Western medicine. But what about all the in between? And so we try to catch someone in the in between to reset them before something like that happens.
Yeah, I think it's hard for people to be have that self-awareness too that
Yeah, exactly.
we get into a rut and a routine and then we just do the same thing repeatedly and then it just snowballs into never changing. I love supplements and I know you probably have some herbal remedies and ideas, traditional Chinese medicine that are like the keystone, cornerstone things. What are your favorite traditional Chinese medicine herbs and remedies?
My favorite thing, something I drink every day, is chrysanthemum tea mixed with rosebuds. And the
Wow,
reason for
that's
that
romantic. Like,
it's so beautiful too. Whenever I drink, I'm like, wow, it's so visually appealing. But
yeah.
chrysanthemum is something I used to drink growing up, even as a kid in Hong Kong. It serves with dim sum. And the reasoning for that is that it's cooling, it detoxes, and it balances kind of the heat that we feel. But it's also targeting stress because it goes to the liver. So at the end of the day, when you unwind and you drink it, it calms the whole nervous system down. And then I add rosebuds because the cooling nature likes to be balanced with something more warming. And so rosebuds are red, they're more warming. And we always say it's great for women's health and blood. So it's always like a good mix.
I love that. How about supplements? Are you taking a traditional American type supplements, pills, or is it all just herbal?
Sometimes I'm someone who takes them when I need them. Some supplements I love are always about mitochondrial health and, ATP production, because at the end of the day, it's your energy, and kind of that's the core of how we have vitality. So something I like to take when I need it, when I'm feeling more run down, is CoQ10. I love omega-3s or fatty 15 because, it's great for oxidation and inflammation. And actually, after my period, after I bleed, I always have some type of blood booster, whether it's a Chinese medicine formula to boost the blood that's been lost, or beef liver capsules, for example.
What's in the blood booster, the Chinese medicine version?
There are four different herbs, such as Dongui, which is like Angelica sinensis, is one of them. It's known to kind of boost the blood and create more, hemoglobin, and just essentially makes your body produce more of the B vitamins and the iron that you're losing during your period. And it's all about how do you replenish it. And I was taught as a kid where every time you bleed, you lose this reservoir. So how can you replenish it so when you get older, it doesn't get more depleted and depleted? Because that's kind of how we stay young and vital.
So interesting. What about green tea?
Love green tea. It's so yummy. I mean, there's so many different versions now, right? And I think something that's really tied to traditional Chinese medicine, Chinese culture, is more pu'er tea. It's more fermented green tea, and there's the black version versus green version. And I love it because the fermentation creates natural probiotics. Has a little bit of caffeine if I need it in the morning, but very, very little caffeine compared to like jasmine or a matcha. But it's so yummy.
Interesting. And for digestive repair and traditional medicine, Chinese medicine, is there a lot of focus on fermented foods, or what are the other strategies for getting a good biotic symbiosis?
It's eating, we say eating warm foods and cooked foods. In Chinese medicine, I think a lot of my followers, they think I'm a broken record, but it's all about warm cooked foods over cold foods and ice cold water. And I think, it goes back to us as being warm-blooded animals and mammals, right? But also that our digestive enzymes have to be warm in order to process the nutrients to an optimal level. And so as soon as you put in something cold, it almost kind of kicks your body into this warming state. And it's using all this energy that you have that you're supposed to, use elsewhere, for your brain, for your activity later. And it's focused on warming the food in your digestion. So it's almost like, you have this full reservoir of energy. And if it's, being used to do something it doesn't have to, then it's going to get weaker and weaker over time.
What do you think that social media is doing to help you convey your message out there? Are you able to connect? And even though they're ancient philosophies and ancient wisdom, does that translate easily to social media, or is it catchy phrases, flattens this complex system?
It's interesting where you really have to break the medicine down into something that makes sense to modern consumers. I mean, social media, it's, you make a 30-second, 45-second video, people have an attention span of 3 seconds. So at the end of the day, it's how do you catch someone's attentions in the first few seconds so they actually listen? Because once they listen and they learn, then they're able to transform their health. But even something like, first thing in the morning, have a hot cup of water instead of ice cold water for digestive health and energy. People, I have had a lot of women reach out saying, oh my gosh, I shifted this one habit and my energy has shifted. My, periods have been less painful. And they're like, I've been doing it for 2 weeks and it's transformed, So little tips like that, as simple as that is, as it is, based on Chinese medicine philosophy, has been super impactful. However, the actual intricacies of acupuncture needles and herbal medicine can only be shown and translated in clinic, with patients themselves. And so I think the goal is to educate, to help someone shift their lifestyle, and then encourage them to find practitioners, near them, acupuncturists or Chinese medicine doctors, to then elevate their health.
And then, if you've never been to traditional Chinese medicine doctor, like I've never had acupuncture, I'd be curious. I've had lots of needles, but not those. What's it, how would you know someone is good?
It's so interesting. A lot of people get nervous because I think most people don't really understand the accreditation that goes behind it. Where acupuncture, there's a national board, and in California, there's a California specific. But anyone who's a licensed practitioner would have had to go through, I went through 5 years of schooling, of med school, between the three and five, dependent whether they're covering both acupuncture and herbs. They go to a accredited school, they have to pass exams in the school, but also then pass board exams. So it's really regimented. And so when you see a licensed acupuncturist, they're going through enough education. And then that's the first step, right? And then the second step is just like with any doctor, you have to figure out whether you vibe with them, whether you like them, whether you trust them, because it's a partnership at the end of the day. And so my biggest advice is find acupuncturists around you, pick two or three, go to them, go to all of them, see who you start to feel comfortable with and who you start to love, and then stick with them. And then acupuncture isn't a one and done, you have to get acupuncture weekly to start off for a certain ailment, because it is all natural and it kind of shifts your body's imbalances back into balance. And the more you go, it's almost like stepping up in a ladder, where the more you go, the quicker your body will heal.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. And what's the usual duration of a treatment? Like you go for 3 months, 2 months?
It really, really depends on the ailment. For example, if it's acute back pain and someone comes in, I'd like to see them twice a week for maybe like 2 or 3 weeks, and their acute back pain will dissipate. Whereas if someone's coming in for women's health or even fertility, that might be like 3, 4 months to start weekly, because it takes time. So it's more so, how do you integrate acupuncture into your wellness routine? And it's really hard for a lot of modern women or modern, people seeking health to do it, because it takes so much time.
What do you recommend for someone who has like some of these angry inflammatory conditions? So there's acne, there's like inflammatory bowel disease. What's the first step for an inflammatory bowel patient, for example?
The first step, for example, if I see someone with IBS, they're coming in, I'm seeing them once a week for at least, like 6 to 8 treatments. But I'm really working on calming their stress response in their nervous system.
Okay. And then that's through the acupuncture and the other techniques.
Yeah, through acupuncture and herbs. So every time someone comes into clinic, for example, they get an acupuncture treatment. The first treatment, they come in for a 30-minute consultation, and then they get the treatment. They get the needles put in them, and then they have to rest for about 30 minutes, because we say it takes 30 minutes for the activation of chi, or the energy, to move through all of the needles. And then they kind of, flow it out of it. We say in this acu-high, they feel great. They're nice and relaxed. Their nervous system is calm. And then we give them a lot of lifestyle advices, right? From how you eat. We always say there's four pillars: acupuncture, herbs. So we send them home with herbs, either the first or second time, depending on when we believe is necessary for them. Lifestyle adjustments. So, like, what can you eat? How can you change your habits, like the cold versus hot water? And then how can you create mindfulness in your day to then create a longer lasting effect of what acupuncture has done?
So interesting. So, okay, let's say I come in and I think I'm pretty healthy, but yeah, maybe my hair is thinning a little. Maybe I'm having, interestingly, I did a Generation Labs biologic age test and it said that my lungs were having issues. And I was like, oh, my lungs are fine. I don't have asthma, nothing. But then you said lungs is the cheeks. And here I have all this melasma and inflammation on my cheeks. So, what would you do? Like, someone feels fine, but they come in because they just want you to give them a once over.
I would look at your tongue and feel your pulse, and ask you everything. For example, things like, do you have low back pain? Do you wake up to pee at night? Are you hungry before meals? Are you eating 3 meals a day? I want to know every symptom. Do you bloat after a meal? How do you feel after eating cheese? Do you feel like you have phlegm stuck in your throat? Like, even these little keys. Or do you have racing thoughts at night? Do you have vivid dreams? Everything ties to a root cause. And so, as much as someone knows and feels that they're healthy, there's always some imbalance you can reset. And feeling the pulse, there's different organs on it. It tells us how stressed someone can be. We can calm that down.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I gotta come visit. For those
Yes,
of you
anytime.
who don't, if you don't have a visual, Dr. Felice is like glowing and her skin is perfect and she looks really healthy and happy. So whatever you're doing, it's working. And if you tell the audience, what's your kind of basic everyday regimen?
I wake up, I drink a hot cup of water, I meditate and journal, I have a yummy, big, protein-rich breakfast. Breakfast is something I will never skip, and in Chinese medicine, we recommend not to skip it, especially for women and women's health and cortisol spikes. And then I have some movement, whether it's strength training, going for a walk, qigong, or just like shaking the body so everything starts to move. And then I go about my day.
An evening wrap up? Is there a wind down?
Yeah, evening wrap up. I'm someone who loves watching TV as much as, we say electronics are bad for us because it calms my mind down, but I always shut it off, let's say 30 minutes before I want to go to bed. I try to have the house as dim as possible. Red lights on, kind of to shift your mindset of, okay, now it's nighttime. Yeah, and that's what I do. I play with my puppies, cuddle. Yeah, family.
Puppies are perfect. Well, I can't wait to come visit you in LA, and you have to come visit me. We're neighbors probably,
Yes, I
right?
would love to. I would love to.
Really fun. We have a skincare line that has a ton of really nice green tea, et cetera. But more than that, like we believe in collagen biostimulators. I'm doing a lot of longevity treatments, and it would just be interesting to see the melding in
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, I'd
Indiana.
love to come in and just learn more.
So interesting. Well, where can people find you if they want to reach out, they want to try Mumbo or come see you as a patient?
So my clinic is in Culver City. It's called Felice Acupuncture. I'm there with four of the clinicians, and they're incredible. We all went to school together, actually. We work so closely together in an integrative clinic. And in terms of people who not in LA, we actually have a virtual arm that we do high touch virtual concierge to help people with the three other pillars of Chinese medicine, right? So acupuncture not accessible, but we teach acupressure. So you can actually massage acupuncture points to then get a certain response that acupuncture needles would do. And so we teach that. We also, prescribe herbs worldwide. We provide food as medicine alternatives and then lifestyle adjustments. And then for Moonbow, we're on moonbowskin.com. You can find it in my clinic too. I use it every morning and night. That's part of my routine. Three steps: cleanse, serum, moisturize, and that's it.
I love it. Well, this makes me feel very motivated for the week ahead. I'm gonna think about you every time I feel stressed. I'm gonna do my little vagal
Gosh,
massage.
here's, yeah, it's the best feeling. And even in the morning time too, when my face feels puffy, you can move the earlobes and it just kind of drains all the lymphs and all the stagnation that's stuck there.
I love it. Well, this has been so fascinating, you guys. Don't forget to check out Dr. Felice. And that's it for now. You can find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K. That's Drkay. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. And this year, we're going to dive much more into these kind of bigger topics of longevity, wellness, and like what things internally reflect external beauty. And really, it's all about the balance, just like we just learned. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.